Well, praise the Lord. I think we're going to start in Colossians chapter 2. Now, everybody keeps telling me I need to quit doing this, but few tell me. And that's making reference to other services, because as these messages go around the world, they may eventually, 20 years from now, they may have a hard time finding it or something. I don't care. I'm watching an unseen hand working at these services. I know a lot of you were not here Wednesday night, and that's no condemnation. It's just observation. I am an engineer, okay? I'm telling you, you're missing some things. You're missing some pieces of the puzzle. Let's say it a different way. You're missing some revelations of the mystery. Because I watched Wednesday night, and as Doug ministered, I listened, and that message was completely different than the anointing that was on the message today. Wednesday night was informational. Today was a little, I don't know the exact word, but it was more exhortational. Okay? That's good. And then informational, Wednesday night, exhortational. But I asked him out front. I said, did you see the connection how you just picked up this morning from Wednesday night? He went, no. And that happens with me a lot of times. See, when it's the Holy Ghost, you don't even recognize the connection sometimes till later on, or somebody else will have to point it out to you. Wednesday night, he was really springboarding from this verse, and we'll look at it here in Colossians 2. And this really has everything to do with our message today also. Colossians chapter 2, let's see where we're going to start. I want to start in verse 19, but it's really hard to start with a verse that begins with "and." So, let's back up in verse 18. And really, we should start from chapter 1, verse 1, but there's no time for that. It says, let no man beguile you. Beguile means trick, deceive. Okay? Let no man deceive you, trick you out of your reward, in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Man, you got to be careful. Sue was reading me an article this week about super spiritual people. Okay? An example was given. I won't mention the name. Some of you recognize it anyway. But apparently this was a few years ago. And this minister, according to him, he goes to heaven about three times a day. Sits down at a table and talks with the Apostle Paul. Paul told him he wrote the book of Hebrews. That type of thing, This minister says that during the service, a female angel would come and give him instruction. I'm not even going to go there, This is not kindergarten 101. You got to be careful with people that always. Now, I'm not against visions and dreams. I mean, visions and dreams are part of the language of the Holy Spirit. But you got to be careful. Paul warned them, these people that always have these visions and dreams, yet they can't seem to verify it with chapter and verse, So he says, don't let anyone trick you with all of this stuff. In verse 19, and this is where I wanted to go, and this has everything to do with Doug's message. And not holding the head. Who is the head of the church? Jesus is the head of the church. I did a message, I think, Sunday night or recently that said, he is Lord, I am not. You are not the head of the church. Dave is not the head of the church. Gary is not the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. And all of this we teach about prayer and fasting and mortification and trying to walk in more love and all of these things that we teach. The end result, the whole purpose, is that you hear from the head, obey the head, be anointed by the head, that the work of our Father can be accomplished in this earth. Holding fast to the head. Well, how the Lord got this verse across to me years ago. Now, I'm all about prayer. You know that. I mean, prayer has saved my life. I thank God for what Dave teaches here. And prayer and fasting, meditation of the Word, all of the pillars that we teach here. But he got it across to me like this a long time ago. He says, son, even when you set yourself to pray, and you're praying and praying and praying, but then you hear from the Lord, and I say, leave right now and give so-and-so $20. And you say, I will right after I finish my prayer time. You're out of balance, son. The whole thing is to hear the head. So Doug taught, he taught a Rembrandt, a Picasso, a masterpiece Wednesday night. It was very informational. And it's really not Doug's forte. I could tell he was kind of, it was too many scriptures for Doug, wasn't it? You know? But it was informational. He was following what the Lord told him to teach. And then today, though, it flowed. I mean, because he was teaching it from a whole different way. And so I'm just going to give this one example. This morning was full of examples. I loved it. This was early days, and Doug, he asked the best question in the morning. This is the best question. Lord, what do you want me to do today? I mean, isn't that the question? Lord, what do you want me to do today? And the Lord, he heard him this time. How many of you know you don't always? I didn't say that out loud, did I? I didn't say. Anyway, but he did that day. And the Lord says, I want you to minister my word. Doug's response was, based on previous experience, oh, okay. He probably wants me to join this other group that I've been with, and we'll go out and we'll pass out tracts. Because he had a job. He has to go do his job and do the things that he has to do. Minister your word. Yes, Lord, I'll do that. That probably means passing out tracts. That's what we do. I get with this group and we go pass out tracts, you know. So the way the day unfolded, I'm not going to reteach all of that. I exhort you to listen to the message yourself. But the way it turned out, the whole day goes by. The evening goes by. The group that he was going to get with to pass out tracts, they didn't go pass out tracts that night. Everything that his preconceived notions had built up about obeying the Lord when it says, I want you to minister my word, none of that came to pass. And he even got in the car to leave. He thought, well, I've just totally missed it. I'll go pass out my tracts myself. See, preconceived notions. But, you know, that internal GPS, that knowing, recalculating, you know, he's leaving. No. Go back. Winds up back there. Comes in and sits down. And I believe it's a Christian coffee house type place. And there was a group, a band playing that night. As soon as he goes in and sits down, there's this one of the members in the band is wearing one of those shoes on just one, not both of them, but one of the shoes is built up like several inches high so that he can walk level. In other words, one leg is really shorter than the other leg. And the Lord says, I want you to pray for him. I want to heal him tonight. Long story short, Doug prays, leg goes whoop, right in front of everybody. Then the Lord says to him, if I'm saying this correctly, thank you for ministering my word tonight. There's more than one way to minister his word. Now, that is not my subject today. Come Wednesday night, listen to Wednesday night, Sunday morning, hear Doug teach on that. What I want to talk about is holding to the head. Holding to the head. One of the things that the Lord told us was that the Holy Spirit, when he comes, one of the things he's going to do is show us things to come. Well, these messages that he's been delivering through me lately are the kind where you make smaller churches. Hey, I'm following the pattern after Jesus, you know. You just read there where he fed the 5,000 men, just men, plus women, plus children. Probably somewhere between 10,000 and 15,000 people there. And then he did the same with 7,000, as I remember right. So there's probably 14,000, 18,000 there. That's a lot of folks. Lots of people. But then when Jesus was raised, you know, but then after that, he started preaching some really hard messages. His word got real strong. Their human reasoning could not understand it. Things like, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. Sounds like cannibalism. Sounds like things they were expressly forbidden to do in the law. And many of his disciples no longer followed him. Jesus knows how to winnow down the crowd. Winnow? I don't know how you say it. Thin down the crowd. He knows how to do that. See? And he plainly told him, he says, you're not really following me for the right motive. You're following because of the bread that you ate. Well, a lot of people follow Jesus for the blessings that they get. Not going there today either. I'm just saying Jesus knows how to thin the herd. A lot of his disciples, many said, when he taught those hard sayings, they left. They couldn't bear it. Didn't make sense to their natural mind. And as they left, he turned around to the 12. He says, now I'm going to paraphrase it a little. What about you boys? You want to leave too? There's the door. I get another 12 look just like you. Well, no, he didn't say that, but anyway. But he was sure giving them the opportunity, wasn't he? Then, as if that's not enough, he appeared after he rose from the dead. He appeared to over 500 people. 500 after he's risen from the dead. I would think all 500 would be in the upper room, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? The man appears to you after he's risen from the dead. No telling what he said to you. He said he talked to them about the things of the kingdom of God, you know. After he's raised from the dead. How many's in the upper room? From 500 down to 120. Jesus knows how to thin the herd. And I've noticed, I am real thankful for the big church, all the churches in town where they preach the truth. I thank God for, you know, I mean, we got churches in this, you realize we got churches in this town, 8,000 members, 10,000 members, some of them got to meet two or three times a day just to get them all in the door. Have you noticed we don't have that problem? We're hoping the building doesn't settle so much that we can't open the door anymore. Well, I'm all, thank God for those churches. I thank God for every single one of them, and I'm not kidding, but I thank God for this church. See, if what's going on right now in the body of Christ, it's a level of power, the level of miracles, the level of the real gospel, the full gospel of God, if that's all there is, just kill me now. If there is no Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John type walking with God where you see the blind eyes open and the deaf ears open all the time. I thank God for once in a while. We've all seen once in a while. I've got a friend right now that we prayed for a week or two ago. Took Dave over there. We prayed. He's doing some better. Hey, Jim. How you doing, buddy? You know, doing some better. But see, I know that if we were walking in the fullness, we'd have just walked Jim out of there. He'd be in the service today with us right now. See, I know Johnny Johnson would be sitting right over there. Him and Rosie with their sweet little faces. So I thank God for this church. We're pressing in. Hey, how many churches? I got a report in between the service, if I remember right, like in between the services today, or maybe right before the first service. Anyway, this young man walks in, gets filled with the Holy Ghost in the foyer. Oh, glory to God. When did he get healed walking in the foyer? You know, walk in and a cancer falls off on the floor. And the service hadn't even started yet. That kind of stuff used to happen all the time. Read history about Azusa Street and Smith Wigglesworth. I'm looking for that glory cloud to show up. You talk about a nursery? I'll just let the kids go play in the glory cloud. I think they'll be okay over there. Hallelujah. Yeah, read about it. The eyewitnesses that were there at Azusa Street. Oh, yeah, yeah. We knew what to do with the children. We let them go play over in the glory cloud. Holy cannoli, I mean. So I am real thankful that we're at a church. I don't care if it gets smaller than this. I don't care. I don't care about that at all. At all. I care about Jim coming. I care about Johnny, not leaving the planet early. I care about the next ones that we're not going to lose. Amen? Pressing into revival. Because that's what the head told us to do. That is our mission. I thank God for a pastor who, after all of these years and all of the hell that's been thrown at him by people and devils and circumstances and money and everything else, and he's still holding to the head. We are going to do what Jesus sent us here to do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I am happy. I am happy about that. Now, last Sunday, as I was ministering, the Lord took me by surprise, and probably you too. And all I was doing really was exhorting some over the prophecies that came at the first of the year, because we're a little over halfway through the year now. And again, I remind you, in fact, I'm just going to read it again, just in case some of you weren't here. This is the word that came the last service of 2013. So talking about 2014. And the Lord said, this year coming up is the year. And that's talking about 2014. This year coming up is the year where we sell out to Him. There is going to be great division in the church. And I am talking about the prayer center. With good intentions, but great warfare. Some will stay, and some will go. And I am telling you that's okay. It is the year of selling out to Him. Whatever His will is, I don't live unto myself anymore. Well, so the message I taught last Sunday was about Jesus teaching us. Well, first we went to Galatians and we looked at the war, Galatians 5, between your new nature and the flesh. And I'm just going to quickly remind you of that. I thank God Alan keeps reminding us, you are not your flesh. If you don't believe that, read Galatians 5 till you do understand it. You are not your flesh. You are clothed in flesh. Your flesh is who you are warring against. It's really not even the devil. The devil has been defeated. That black band that back in the early days when Dave was first saw and understood about revival, and he saw that vision of the whole world covered in that black band. Remember? And people would get their hand up through it and they'd glow, and they'd come back and lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. Somebody'd get their head up through it and they'd come back and they'd teach the very oracles of God. Somebody'd get their whole body through it and they'd come back, and then those would be the revivalists of history that we usually only have a handful every 100 years. You know, your Smith Wigglesworths, your John G. Lakes, those kinds, you know. So Dave is looking at that vision. He goes, that's that black band. Yeah, that's what's keeping us from revival. That's the devil. And the Holy Ghost said, no, that is your flesh. Oh, no, not my flesh. Well, Galatians 5 tells you all about that warfare between your flesh and your new man. It says the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. They are contrary one to the other. Say that out loud. My flesh is contrary to my new nature. I am a spirit born in the image of God. I love God things. My flesh loves earth things. They are contrary one to the other. Until I can walk through walls with a glorified body, I'm going to be at war with this body. Either my spirit or my flesh is going to be on the cross every day. I choose to put my flesh there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, in these messages, I don't choose them really myself. He draws them out of me same way I see Him drawing them out of Doug, you know. He is preparing us for something that is to come. The revival we're about to enter into, we all go, yay. And I'd go, yay. Well, you better be as tough as nails. Because all hell's coming, has come against us to stop us from getting there. And once we get there, all hell's going to be launched against you to take you out of it. In every way. See, that's why when we would talk about, we're not going to have just another gifts revival. We'd say that in earlier messages. We never said the gifts wasn't going to be manifest in this revival. What we meant was, and we would usually say, well, in revivals, that genuine revivals that have happened in the past, where the power of God would show and the gifts of the Spirit would work, what would usually happen? Usually, not always, but most of the times, the devil would find some handle. He'd find some weakness of character. I usually say it, you know, you'd hear about the minister running off with the church money. Or you'd hear him running off with the secretary. Or you'd hear him running off with the money and the secretary. Or something. Or they want to be like a Dave brings out that picture of a man. I can't think of names right now, but that, oh, Dowie, Alexander Dowie, right near the end of his life. And man, he built himself a throne. He thought he was Elijah to come. He wore these fancy robes and a pointy hat. Religion. See, there was a handle there to be exalted. Something, and it took him out. You don't want to know how he died. It wasn't great. The end was not good. But I thank God for all that good that he did do. And I'm sure he got a good reward. But when we say it's not going to be just another gifts revival, what we mean by that is that it's not going to be the kind where we have a bunch of spiritual babies full of all kinds of strongholds, greed, envy, jealousy, lust, all that kind of stuff, so easily manipulated. That once the revival starts, all the devil's got to do is come and twist one of those handles, and suddenly it's another disgrace. No. Why has he had Dave here preaching this message for 20 years, over 20 years? To get a group of people that wouldn't just hear it, but would actually do it. So that the handles get chopped off. Chopped off, purged, lopped, whatever you like. Gone. Jesus said that right before the cross. He said, Satan comes, but he finds nothing in me. Nothing in me, see. Well, Sunday, I was just preaching away on the cross. And oh, so yes. Yes, sir. Okay. So we went to Galatians first. And the way that one ends, that war, what's the answer for that war? Those that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. See, your flesh is more than just your physical body. It's all of the unrenewed parts of the soul. It's where envy lives. It's where the wanting glory from man lives. It's where I only want nice things. I don't want any suffering at all. I don't know. It's where all that stuff lives, okay? There it says, those that are Christ's have crucified the flesh. If that's the only verse you have, you think it's a one-time event. But see, Jesus over, we went to here last week too, Jesus over in Luke 9, when he was teaching on, if you want to follow me, you're going to have to take up your cross daily. Daily. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Daily. Well, right in the middle of that message, a tongue's come. Happens to Dave all the time. You know, it doesn't happen with me very often. I actually kind of resist it, to be honest with you. But anyway, he was determined this time. But not that he isn't always. So I gave the tongue and then the interpretation come. I heard it when you heard it. I'm going to go ahead and read it again today because he wants to bring out some things in it. Yes, sir. I will post this. It's already been. If you have signed up for the prophecies that come by email through the prayer center, these have already come. This should already be on your computer. But now for those that haven't, if I get permission, if it's okay, I will probably have this document in a PDF file together with last week's message and maybe this one also, so that you can easily print it at home. Anyway, here's what the Lord says through a tongue and interpretation, July 20th, 2014. He says, for I am bestowing honor on this place. Well, now, how would he do that? How would he do that? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I don't go there often. Go to Revelations, chapter 2. Revelations, chapter 2. Yep. Remember, he gives these messages to the seven churches. And all of them but one, he says, I have somewhat against you. Only one does he not say that to. Now, don't get me wrong. He probably has somewhat against Gary. No, I don't say probably. There are things. Okay, enough of that. I'll just read what he said to them, okay? So we're going to read in verse 8. This is the only church where there was not a single rebuke in it. and it's the church at Smyrna. Unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, thus these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation. You know that's trouble, right? And poverty. But thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto what? Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. We don't hear much preaching like that in America. There's been very little persecution in America. But can you see persecution coming rapidly on the horizon? I mean, it's already here, and I see it getting much, much worse. People have grown so accustomed to a homogenized, purified, Americanized, prosperized, gentilized gospel that they don't read the whole counsel of God, and they don't listen to what Jesus really said. You know what Jesus really said? Okay. Jesus said, beware when all men speak well of you. Everybody likes me. I'm not creating any waves. Everything's great. Nobody says anything bad about me. Something's wrong. Your light is not shining bright enough. The world hates you. It hates you. The world agrees with the flesh. God agrees with the Spirit. God is a Spirit. And that Spirit on the inside of you agrees with Him. Yes, sir. That's back to Colossians. Go right back to Colossians. Chapter 2. We'll read that same verse again, verse 19. And not holding the head. Who was it speaking to the churches over there in Revelations? Who was that? Jesus. He will show you things to come by the Holy Ghost. And sometimes pressing into revival is not always bless me, bless me, bless me. Sometimes it's with great persecution. Sometimes it's going to require your life. Not by sickness now. Not by those kind of things. We're talking real persecution. The only kind that the devil has. Well, what was the first thing he said to them? Fear not. See, when you get to the place where you start laughing, when it dawns on you, the worst they can do is kill me. And part of you goes, happy, happy, happy. You're getting to the place now where you're starting to think like God. We're going to see it here in a minute. Boy, this is... Hopefully I will get to read the rest of that prophecy. Not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances like touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, but not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. But now notice, then he starts giving the real counsel of God. If you then be risen with Christ, how many of you have been born again? If you're born again, your spirit has been risen with Christ. seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection. That is a good word. That word is often translated mind. How about this? Set the affection of your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And look at verse 3. For you are dead. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Well, man, how many? I like that, don't you? But I don't like the next verse. Mortify therefore. In other words, therefore is connecting with what he just said. Since it is true that you're already dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God, you're a new creature, you're an invader from another world, well then mortify. What does mortify mean? Do y'all remember, Dave? You remember? Let's see now. If you spend a night in a mortuary, and he does his work on your flesh. So you spend the night in a mortuary being operated on by a mortician. In the morning, your flesh will be mortified. And it's not going to give you any trouble anymore, right? It's not going to sin anymore, at least. Well, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Your spirit is seated with Christ in heavenly places. Your flesh is not. Mortify, put to death your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, hopefully we're past that. Uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. Oh God, I hope I'm not. That just sounds evil. Doesn't that sound evil? Whatever concupiscence is, I don't want none of that. It really just means no restraint, if I remember right. And covetousness. Uh-oh. Covetousness? No one's ever heard of a greedy preacher. What is covetousness? It's idolatry. You can't be covetous and really be sold out to God. Come on. Can't serve God in money. For which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked some time when you lived in them, but now you also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, and yes, that does include dirty jokes, and a lot more. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew. See, what he's doing, you are so not of this world. New creatures, there's no such thing as a Greek or a Jew. You're a new creature. There's no such thing. Paul said, not all Israel is Israel. Just because they're the natural seed of Abraham does not make them the seed of promise. No, it says, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Isaac was a supernatural child of promise. Christ is the supernatural child of promise. And if you be Christ's, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to that promise. Amen? Glory to God. A lot of good preaching right there. But there's no such thing, see, as a Greek or a Jew. You're a new creature. You're from another world. You're a what? I am a Christian. There's not circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. So then, after he tells you what to put off, then he says, well, put this on. This is who you really are. Put on, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness. Did you ever read about Moses? It says Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. Uh-huh. See, you have automatically you have this meekness. You get this mental picture of a little mousy character guy. I'm so meek. Yeah, Moses was, he was the meek. It says in the Bible, he was the meekest man on the face of the earth. What did he do when he found them worshiping that golden calf? He ground that calf to dust, put it in the water, and made them drink it. Yeah. A truly meek person will obey God. Truly meek. You will obey God. Long suffering. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have quarrel, so forth and so on. The point I was trying to make there, look, don't get caught up in religion, lots of do's and don'ts and all kinds of stuff. What we're holding to is the head of the church. And he is the head and we are not. And where the head of the church is taking the prayer center is into this revival. We've known that for a long time. Now, I want you to listen. And so he's all of a sudden, okay. So what's the message now? Crucify the flesh. What? He says something in here I'd never heard before. I had to go home and I couldn't wait till I got a copy of this myself. When you really prophesy or give an interpretation, I'm going to say again, when that happens, you don't get to hear it first and then judge it. You hear it when everybody else hears it. And sometimes you went, what? Listen to this. I am bestowing honor on this place. He was doing that with Smyrna. He was telling them things to come, giving them an exhortation. You better get ready. Now here's what's coming. Prison, so forth. He says, I'm calling you into the deeper things. Well, why, Jesus? That even more of your life may be consumed on the altar of His will. I am calling you even deeper and farther. Now, this is the sentence. Beyond those realms where the flesh will walk with you. I'm going to say this out loud. Do you know how opposite to the radical grace movement that statement is? See, radical grace, what they're teaching is that, oh, it's all been paid for. He accepts you, flesh and all, just like you are. There is some truth to that. I'm the guy that smoked for eternity in 3 days. There is truth to that. He will walk with you, faults and all. As long as you don't justify it and say it's not sin when it is. And as long as you keep doing those things that will one day spell your freedom. But to just say, oh, I'm just going to be his smoking Christian forever and that's just the way it is. Well, you're on dangerous ground there. And let's say it this way. Your flesh in that condition is not going to walk with you into revival. It's not going to. He'll love you. He'll use you. I'm not saying he can't use you in the gifts. We're talking about something different. We're talking about mature children. He's the one that said this. He's wanting to take us now into realms. Yes, okay. Okay. Sandara blastori kite. Sandara blakare. I understand. We were in New York. We were ministering up there. Beautiful area. Can't remember the name of the town right now, but it was pretty. And we had finished a service. And this was, they put us up in a nice motel. Sue and I would never get one that nice for ourselves, but they put us in a nice one. And in the bedroom had a bedroom and a living room with a door. And it was late. It was time to go to bed, but I just couldn't go to sleep that night. And Sue knows that's not normal for me. I'm normally, man, I'm like a clock. I just go to sleep, you know. So she went on to bed and closed the door, and I'm up in the living room. I'm just praying, not watching TV or nothing, just praying. I was still smoking at the time. And I was trying. I mean, I you know, Dave tells those stories, you know, and they're all true. I wear a patch on each arm, chewing the nicotine gum. Couldn't make it past the water tower out here, you know, on the way back home. Why the water tower? Because there's a hill there, and I'm hoping you can't see me once I go over that hill. It's not the water tower. That's where the hill is. Dave thinks it's something to do with the water tower. No, that's just where the hill is, you know. I'd light up a smoke, and that's... God used us. He did all kinds of things through us, you know. But anyway, we were in New York, that service. I was up late. praying. I just couldn't go to sleep. Praying. And the Lord. It's like he just walked into the room. He started talking with me. What does he look like? I can't tell you. I don't know how you can see him and not see him. But I did. He was there. He, just as clear talking with me. And he just talking with me straight. And he says, you know that you're obeying me in a lot of areas. You're producing fruit. And you're going to have a reward when you come to heaven. He says, but when you get there, unless you deal with this in the flesh, and I knew what he was talking about, when you get there, I'm going to have to draw back a curtain and show you things that it was in my plan, my will for you to do, that you never did accomplish because I couldn't send you. He says, son, where I'm wanting to send you now, as long as you still have that thing in the flesh, they won't listen to a word you say. There's no point in me sending you. Boy, I said, you can say what you want. I do love Jesus. The emotion that came when he told me, and I could kind of see it, the emotion that came with him drawing back that curtain, me thinking about me having to stand there that day after he bled and died for me. He's going to have to draw back a curtain and tell me because of my flesh, because I wouldn't crucify it, I wouldn't deal with it. He's going to have to draw back a curtain and show me things that he wanted me to do that I just couldn't do because I love my flesh too much, coddled it too much. The emotion that came with that. Now see, I know the Lord can deliver without a single withdrawal symptom. He delivered me from alcohol exactly that way. I never had a withdrawal symptom. I mean, I was a virtual alcoholic for 10 years. Now you tell me anybody you know that's like that. And suddenly they go to bed like that and they wake up sober. Never have another drink for now. It's been 34 years. And not have a single withdrawal. See, don't tell me that's not God. That's God. I know he can do that. I can also tell you he did not do that when it comes to smoking. Withdrawals? Are you kidding? I thought I was going to die. And my flesh kept telling me I was going to die. Now, of course, you don't hear the flesh the same way you hear the Lord. But it's as if my flesh was saying to me, what do you mean? Feeding me nicotine all these years. And then cutting me off cold turkey. I will kill you. You will die. You'll never make it back to Oklahoma. You know, I will kill you. Then it starts negotiating with you. You know, you need to taper off. Yeah, that's it. You need to taper off. But see, I know myself. And some people do that. My dad did that and quit. But I'm not a taper off kind of guy. I just not. It's never been that way. It's sink, swim, live, die, all or nothing. That's just who I am. Oh, my God. God, you talk about crucifying. This was not crucifying the flesh daily. This was not even hourly. This was minute by minute. How often did you want it? All the stinking time. All the time. All the time. No, I mean, all the time. I feel like ants crawling up and down. I can't imagine. I thank God I never got hooked on heroin. I feel for people that get hooked on hard drugs, you know. I don't know what it's, I know how bad it was with this. Anyway, I don't want to magnify that anymore. All I'm saying is, did you know? You didn't know. I know you didn't know. With that same year, just within a few months, he started sending us around the world. Now, the first place he sent us was Poland, and I'll just tell you straight, it wouldn't have mattered there. Everybody smokes in Poland. But then he sent me to South Africa. Amazing. Different cultures. They love God over there. They're Pentecostal tongue talking. They don't have a meal without having wine with it. And sometimes more than one glass. Sometimes enough to feel a little bit happy. And they don't think a thing about that. In their now over here you get these... quote, you know, our Pentecostal holiness churches, they would never believe they're even saved, probably, you know. But over there, Oh, yeah, they're offering me wine all the time. No, thank you. Let me have my coffee. But over there, they will not believe a person can smoke and be saved. It's just something in that culture there. They don't believe it. They don't believe you're saved if you still smoke. I didn't know that. The Lord knew that. And He got me. Now, I was going through, they didn't know it, and I never told them. I was going through horrible withdrawals the whole time I was there. But thank God I wasn't smoking. And thank God I could do what He called me to do. Now, see, my flesh had to be put on the cross before I left on that mission. And it had to stay on the cross while I was there. By the way, it's been on the cross ever since. I never have had another smoke, and that's been over a decade ago now. There is such a thing. It's crucifying the flesh. But see, that exactly illustrates this. My flesh would not have walked with me. I couldn't just say, okay, we're not going to smoke for 30 days while I go on this mission. Then I'm going to come. If you know anything about addiction, that does not work. No, I had to get on the cross first. Where He's taking us now, He's warning us. He's showing us like He showed Smyrna. He's warning us where you're going now. I'm going to exalt this place, but how I'm exalting it into the deeper things of me, your flesh will not walk with you there. Now, it's an easy illustration. Cigarette smoking is so fleshy. But did you hear that list? Envy, greed, jealousy, anger, all of those things. All of that has to be put on the cross. What's a good way to do that? The Spirit also helps us with our infirmities. For we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. You don't know how to get free. You don't even know why you keep doing what you do. He does. Praying in other tongues is one really good way to put that flesh right on the altar of God. And flesh meaning not just the physical appetites, but those soulish appetites. I want to have glory of man. I want to be known as the best. I want this and I want that. Let me read some more. I'm going to read that again. I am calling you even deeper and farther beyond those realms where the flesh will walk with you. God, is that a sentence? Okay, I preached on that one already. Beyond that realm, those realms where your flesh will walk with you. I am honoring this place. I am drawing you into that realm where the Son's voice is heard clear and where the power flows free and where heaven is brought to earth and my Father's will is manifested. Does that sound like revival to you? Boy. We're family, right? Right now, see, I'm very careful. I try to be extremely careful. Well, I don't try to be. I am very careful. I don't want to be full of care. That's a bad word. I don't want to stand here and deliver partial truth. Ever since the hula hoop message, a lot of you look at me and go, what? At the website, it's called, what is it called? Help me. What? Higher Thoughts and Higher Ways. Ever since that message, all the gears in Gary began working again. There's a revelation things going on the inside of me that it's not lawful for me to teach. They're not done. It's like you ladies that cook bread, you know, you just don't serve the bread till the bread is done, right? And there's so many things. I read this and I want to share with you things that are cooking, but they're just not ready. But boy, I'm telling you, there are things coming. They are quickly coming down the pike. things that have not been heard, I don't think. And it's not like, ooh, you know. No. We're still uncovering those foundation stones laid down by the first apostles. We're uncovering all the religious trash off of them. Getting back to the original gospel. When we get back to the original gospel, we're going to have the original results. Amen? All right. So then he said, in that same word, be encouraged, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And this very day I say to those who have ears to hear, come up higher. Come up higher. Look not to the world. Look not to your flesh. Look not to that which is yours, but look to that which is mine. Does that sound like a verse to you? Are you still in Colossians? Chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Come up higher, come up higher. Look not to the world, look not to your flesh. Look not to that which is yours, but look to that which is mine. For all that the Father has given me, my Spirit will show it unto you. And together we will harvest my Father's fields in these days, says the Lord. My Lord, does that not sound like revival? Where the Son's voice is heard clear. Where the power flows free. Man. Well, a little later on in the service, now this didn't come by prophecy or tongues and interpretation, but it's very anointed. Said, we're coming to that time now. Even things that are not sin, even things that are okay. If you are His disciple and He says, walk away from them, flesh screaming all the way, you walk away from it. Or you are not His disciple. Now see, this still has to do with holding to the head. Remember what happened? Jesus let my flesh... We did a lot of things for God. My smoking flesh walking right along with me. And He didn't say anything. You can think He did, but He didn't. I had worse strongholds than that. There was worser, is that a good word? Worser, eviler stuff in Gary than smoking that had to die or I probably wouldn't have survived here. Okay? And he was dealing with that stuff first. Okay? But eventually the Lord Himself comes because now He's taken me to a place I didn't know it was going to be South Africa. By the way, same thing in Korea. You can't go over there smoking and thinking you're going to win anybody. Okay? Their culture. Now He's wanting to take me to a place where I can't go. My flesh will not go with me there. So before I even knew He's going, He starts, all right, now you got to deal with this. He's doing that with the whole church, all of us right now. And He's talking about things now that even holiness Pentecostal wouldn't necessarily call sin. Like one of the three idols. Remember that word that come through me? This is the year we sell out to Him, and to my shame, I thought that was for you. I'm trying to be honest. I mean, I thought I sold out a long time ago. I said, boy, these people need to sell out. That very week, He shows me three idols. Three in my own life. They weren't evil. I'll tell you one of them, and don't run for the doors, you men. One of them was football. I know. And no, you can watch football, but you can't, if you're contending for revival, if you're a sold out guy, supposedly sold out, like I'm supposedly sold out. Well, you don't sit there from 10 or 11 o'clock on Saturday morning till 11 o'clock Saturday night watching different football games. And sometimes Friday night. He was just saying, he didn't say I couldn't ever watch one. But if I'm going to go where He's taken me, That has to change. And if he says change it, then you got to change. I'm going to get in trouble with holiness people right now. I can take you to Pottawatomie County, Oklahoma, to a church in Bethel Acres, where they still have a smoke break between Sunday morning, the Sunday early class, Sunday school class, and the main service, and the pastor is out there with them. What? And I'm telling you right now that they preach Christ and Him crucified, and that little church has won probably more old, hard, gambling, drinking, womanizing guys to Christ in the last 100 years than you could shake a stick at. God loves that church. And as far as I know, He's not dealing with them the way He dealt with me. He has a plan for my life. Okay? He has a plan for my life. My life, I've got to follow His. I've got to hold to the head. I've got to do what He tells me, whether my flesh likes it, whether my flesh don't like it. Now see, what you got to be careful of is going around saying, well, He told me to quit, now you got to quit. He didn't know such thing. May not be an idol to you. What was the other one? I'll tell you one of them. Too much news. I am a news hound. Sue is not. When I turn the news on, she's okay, time to go do something else. You know, she get a little bit. I mean, she likes to stay up. You know, but if I let my flesh, I don't know why it is. I'll sit there for a long time, hours. She'll walk through, are you still watching that? Aren't they saying the same thing over and over and over? Now they said a little different this hour. Trying to be honest with you guys. Well, the Lord said, no, it's too much. Stop. Then He reminded me of Smith Wigglesworth. You're always in trouble whenever the Lord reminds you of Smith Wigglesworth. Y'all remember the story? Lester Sumrall was coming early, you know, when he first started meeting Smith. And one day, I mean, you know, here's this young... It's hard to believe Lester was young once. Now, it's hard to picture him, you know, real young whippersnapper. And he's going to be learning from Smith Wigglesworth. Glory to God. He comes up, knocks on the door. And Lester had a rolled up newspaper under his arm, you know, fixing to come in and fellowship. Smith sees that rolled up newspaper. And you know what he said to him? He said, you don't bring that unbelief in my house. You have to leave that on the porch. You can't bring it in with you. And I'm going, I'm in trouble. Sit there and listen to that unbelief. See, listen to how He worded it. Listen to how He worded this again. I am calling you even deeper and farther beyond those realms where the flesh will walk with you. I am drawing you into that realm where the Son's voice is heard clear and where the power flows free and where heaven is brought to earth and my Father's will is manifested. Then later on He says, look not to the world, Gary. Look not to the flesh. Look not to that which is yours, but look to that which is mine. For all that the Father has given me, my Spirit will show it unto you. And together we will harvest my Father's fields in these days. So in your prayer time, I believe we're at that place now. The Lord may start dealing with you about things that's just taken too much of your time. I'm not looking at anybody for any particular reason. I have to be careful with that. Anyway. But if the Lord deals with you about it, say, hey, you're spending too much time on this. I need you in prayer. Or He may be saying, all right, time enough. That thing that it's time to deal with that thing in the flesh. Whatever it is. Woohoo. Time to deal with it. Oh, I can hear the screaming already. Yeah. So we're coming into that time where even things that are not sin, things that are really okay, football's okay, news is okay. But if you're His disciple and He says, I'm not saying, but if He says, walk away from Him, flesh screaming all the way, you walk away from Him, or you're not His disciple. Now, isn't this the kind of message that builds a big church? Isn't this what the throngs are looking for? How to put my flesh on the cross? How to suffer all kinds of withdrawals and give up things that I like? How to give my Saturdays now over to God? Yeah, the whole world is running after that. And don't get me wrong. I think God wants to bless His people, including us, a lot more than we're blessed. But He wants us to be handleless, so that when we have things, including money, things serve us, we don't serve things. Things and money serves us as we serve the Lord. So at the end, we prayed this prayer together, and I think I'm going to go ahead and close for now. I believe that's His mind for this service. I'm just going to offer this prayer again. I'm going to say it, give you time to repeat it if you want to. It's a consecration prayer of selling out. So, Father, this is the year that I sell out to You. If there are things in my heart that is an offense to You, or that is an obstacle to You, that is hindering the Father's will, Lord, I am asking You, tell me straight. I need to hear the truth. And I am asking for it. Father, I know by Your grace, as long as I yield my will, You will empower me to put my flesh on the cross. Even on things that I have loved for decades. This is the year I sell out to You. Father, I thank You for loving me too much to leave me like I am. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Boy, spend time with Him. Spend time with Him. See what the head of the church tells you. Don't try and become Lord over other people. Just allow Him to be Lord over you, okay? Hallelujah. Father, we have... I thought I was dismissing. Christo mole ba ansrumukusi la shonde ika usha froto ba asi alomuso kanda istala ba. For I am pleased. I am pleased. I am pleased with Your walk to this point. Each and every one of you has put Your hand into mine and let me bring you this far. But now I'm looking ahead. I see where the path leads. I see the dangers and the glories that are there. So rejoice at this season that you've come to a new place of consecration. A place where the flesh says this far and no farther. So at this point the flesh must be crucified. And I will lead you into the fullness of all that I have called you to do. And the reward, the fullness of the harvest shall be so great. You shall rejoice in that day, though your flesh does not rejoice now. I am pleased, says the Lord, and you shall be too when you see the fruit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah.